It's time again for the Scotty Johnny Podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam. Talking Wisconsin sports, two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what he read on Twitter. With music by Duluth Greats, Cars and Trucks, here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome in to the Scotty Johnny Podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hi, John. What's going on, man?
We're getting the energy going early now because it is boring out there for a bunch of stuff.
Welcome to the abyss, man. we are there.
Amply referred to this as the abyss repeatedly. As everybody, I think, knows by now, we're generally a Packer-centric sort of show, but you may have noticed the lack of Packer news recently.
Well, I mean, Andy Reid used to be a Packer coach.
And Rashad Breeland and Mike Pennell. And yeah, there were some guys on there who had some good weekends. But either way, thank you again for joining us for another week of Wisconsin sports talk and general insanity. As Aaron and I kind of walk you through things, just two guys kind of, I guess, getting a little out there at times, trying to talk about Wisconsin sports, but also trying to be entertaining because, again, we're in the abyss. Right. We want to give special thanks, of course, to all of our fans in the Netherlands.
Sweet.
Many of the Nederlanders, we have had several of them now, and I'm very excited by that. Also, all of our listeners in Deutschland, in Germany, in the UK, in Ireland, and you know, Erengobra, and Indonesia. I don't have a fun thing to say for you because you don't have an Erengobra that I'm aware of. Also, we thought this was just a fluke thing, but we've had consistent listenership from British Columbia and Quebec. So, yeah. Hey, welcome. we're glad to have you with us again, talking through whatever we've got this week. You know, maybe our listenership will go down without Packers talk, but we'll see. Either way, you can always follow the show on Twitter, of course, at Scotty Johnny Pod. You can follow me, of course, at Not So Humble Host. Aaron, are you on the Twitter machine?
I am. I'm wildly disappointed by how you say hello in the Netherlands and how you say hello in Indonesia. It's both hello.
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 I think that's mostly because...
Yes, John, I am on Twitter. Speaking of that, say hello to me on Twitter, at Cheddar Talk. At Cheddar Talk, that's where you find me. Somehow, I've gained 7 listeners in the last 2 days, but I'm still down 3. So that means I lost 10 overall in the last week, which that's a large amount. I mean, that's 10% of my listener, or of my, no, that's bad math, like 6% of my followership. So I don't know what I did to say bad things to everybody, but I think the only real controversial tweet I had yesterday was I was not real impressed with Terry Bradshaw at the end of the Super Bowl. Lamar Hunt's wife's name.
Yeah, yeah, I saw your tweet on that. That was interesting. They wouldn't let her talk. They just pushed her off the stage. And such.
Yeah, I know. It was like Norma Hunt. Sorry, it's escaping me. I know her name. It was killing me. I'm just as bad. But yeah, it was basically, hey, Norma, here's your trophy. Yeah, you kiss it. Hey, come over here, Clark. You know, like
Frank Clark, you woman beater, you get over here.
Yeah, no, Clark Hunt.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I thought you were like Frank Clark talk.
But yeah, just like basically said, here, Norma, here's a trophy to kiss. Now let me talk to Clark. Like, it was massively dismissive. She's the owner of the team, and he just pushed her out of the way. No, I know Clark's the mouthpiece and runs the bit, but I mean, she's the owner. Like,
that being said,
her husband her husband owned the team. His name's on the AFC Championship trophy. Yeah. That'd be like pushing Vince Lombardi's wife out of the way. Frankly, it sort of is. I mean,
to be clear though, if they would push Bob Kraft out of the way for anything, like at a hot dog stand or whatever, like, get out of here, man, move out, fatty, let's go, I'd be in favor of that. because he needs
did
to
you
go.
did you see they booed Belichick during the NFL 100 presentation? It started off as a boo, and then everybody was like, oh, come on, and then it got to a loud cheer because everybody who's got like a soul was like, hey, come on. You know, I mean, I get it's Miami, it's the AFC East, but that was, I thought I was,
well, that's, no, it's not it. Everybody else hates him because they hate losing to him because he's been great. He's amazing, and you can't, I mean, you can be mad about it, but, you know, he belongs there as much as anybody. You know what, though, Aaron, talking about your followers, for anyone who's followed me, you might see that I got, my Twitter account got tweeted out by Tallysite. Those of you not familiar with Tallysite, we use them at several different sports sites to try, they're a site that does, they're basically like the people who keep the receipts. You go put in all your stuff there, like Andrew Brandt, Bill Barnwell, Trey Wingo, all these people put their stuff on there. And because I'm part of Acme Packing Company's family, I get to put a piece in there too. Only 12.8% of experts called John Harbaugh as coach of the year. That's, I'm reading this from the Tallysite Twitter feed. Also, I'm mentioned on there because I'm one of the 12.8% that correctly called Coach of the Year. So you might see my name out there a little bit if you follow Tallysite. Yeah, Tallysight. Tallysite. Also, that keeps up my receipts. You can see I clearly picked the Chiefs to cover and to win, of course, because they were the favorite team. And I had those right. What I had wrong is over-under, like many people. But
no, I mean, what was the over-under, 54?
52.5, the last I saw.
How much?
52.5 is the last I saw for over-under. It might have gone up since then, but on the morning of the Super Bowl, it's 52.5.
And they had 52 total.
Did they get, I don't think they got 52. I think they got 51. Wasn't it 20 to 31?
2031. Sorry, that was horrible math, Aaron.
Boom. Yes.
Oh man, that would have.
Roasted.
I don't bet as much as I used to. I actually have what they call a gambling addiction, and so that's why I don't gamble anymore. But if I were to, I would have hit the under on that one because I didn't think it was going to be that big. As Matt, I didn't think Kansas City was going to score that next touchdown. But sorry, we're Packer centric, but if. It's the Super Bowl. It's the biggest sporting event of the year in the United States. So we'll go on here a little bit about it. But
let's do that in the main event, Aaron. Let's do that first. Let's talk about this. Let's say, first off, we're going to bring this to you in our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
Oh, that's on a roll. But I guess we could do that. I mean, that's what real shows do with like production and like chapters and stuff.
You're doing a great job. Thanks for letting us off out of there with this. What were you saying? You were saying something. Never mind. It got really boring there. I thought they were going to go on the over. I thought the over at 52.5 was going to be clear. What does that come out to? If you say it was going to be a 35-28 game, I would not have been shocked, right?
After last year's,
got a couple more. Yeah.
I mean, after last year's 13-3 debacle, I was honestly thinking I thought the Chiefs were going to win, but I didn't think it was going to get to. I think the Packers put out in the NFC Championship game how to beat the 49ers. A number one.
That's the most interesting thing you've ever said, Aaron. Explain that. How did we tell anybody how to beat the 49ers, backsides handed to us twice this year?
Really easy. What in an edge, first of all, early on, edge thing, when the Packers are 4th-and-1 at the 50 or whatever, 4th-and-2 or whatever it was, and they punted, and then the 49ers just proceeded to run it down their throat for 80 yards or whatever it was, and then they had it again in 80 yards and 80 yards and 80, and they let the 49ers get some footing. Early on, the Chiefs had that. Now, granted, it was a little bit deeper in 49er territory. They went for it, and they got it, and they kept going. And so the Chiefs, whenever it was a close to somewhat like challenging decision, they went for the more liberal decision. Like, sure, why not? Like, it's the Super Bowl. Let's do it. You know, it seemed like that. And they never let the run game get going of the 49ers. Once the run game got going of the 49ers, like, you knew it couldn't stop. And once that defense is getting tired and just getting pounded, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. That's true with any team. And so the Chiefs early on were much. I mean, the Packers have the personnel to stop the game, and I said that too. It's, I mean, it can't be overemphasized. Like, I don't think the Packers are still going to win the NFC Championship game, but like the Chiefs have a little bit more of the manpower, but the Packers do too. But they just, it wasn't. The Chiefs did a real good job of minimizing what the run was and making Jimmy Garoppolo win the game, which he can't. He proved that last night. And so down the stretch, I mean, Kansas City is a better team, especially with, I mean, I know the Packers beat him this year, but with Mahomes in there, and Mahomes started off a little rusty. Thank God he got his footing underneath him. And what did the Packers do to the 49ers in the second half of the NFC Championship game? They gave up too many points to start. They gave up way too many points. Now, I know the Chiefs are down by double digits too, but they were down by two scores, not four scores.
Okay.
I mean, the Packers were down four scores. And the Packers in the second half, remember, Rodgers was getting nailed for, like, stat padding. No, they weren't. Remember the big bomb that he put right over top Devontae Adams when he burnt Sherman? The 49ers run out of gas, and the Chiefs kept it close enough that they could fight back. And what did the 49ers do in the fourth quarter, just like they did against the Packers? They ran out of gas. The problem is that the Chiefs have a lot of weapons and a young quarterback that can make a lot of throws and can run it like Rodgers used to. And they have wide receivers and tight ends that are really good. So
that's actually really interesting, Aaron. I'm going to give you this. I think that's a really good explanation of this.
It's not apples to apples, but I mean, if the Packers would have kept it close, like done anything to just wholesale shut down the run, like put nine people 5 yards apart, the width of the line of scrimmage, and two safeties back just to stop anything, were they going to get burnt? No.
Just straight up gap discipline stuff, right?
Right. Just don't let them, because that's what they did. They just tore apart the Packers with the run.
Yeah, they did.
Jimmy G did nothing. Kittle did nothing. Kittle was okay on a couple plays yesterday. I mean, but the wide receivers were not to be heard from the 49ers. And Jimmy G is unproven in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, has come back from three double-digit deficits in three straight playoff games. But, yeah. I mean, thank you, John, for agreeing with me.
No, and actually, the funny thing here is I went and looked this up while you were talking. In terms of DVOA, the Chiefs are 14th and the Packers are 15th in defense. Like, yeah. Anything Kansas City could do, the Packers can kind of do. And here's the fun part. The Packers are 23rd in rush defense DVOA, and the Chiefs are 29th. The Packers were actually a worse pass defense, but they were 10th compared to 6th. So that's the thing. It's like the Packers should have been able to do exactly what Kansas City did to the Chiefs or to the 49ers on defense and didn't.
The Packers and the Chiefs defense are very similar. They're not that. The one big glaring difference is the receiving core of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Now, yes. and Patrick Mahomes' abilities as a 24-year-old as opposed to Aaron Rodgers as a 36-year-old.
We'll give him
that.
I mean,
we've got running backs. Williams played awesome last night. He was on my fantasy team for most of the year and didn't do squat. But, man, he looked good last night. So, I mean, they had the running game. They got the horses on the outsides. They've got the second-best tight end in football, arguably the best when it comes to getting open. I mean, that's the big difference, is that I don't think if the Packers would have kept it close, they probably couldn't have clawed back. But dang it, Rodgers was trying in that second half, and the offense was trying. Well, Rodgers wasn't trying when the fumble was on the ground, obviously. He Cam Newton that one. But besides that, I mean, they were trying, and that's the difference. Kansas City's got the horses, and they've got the horsepower. Like, and when it the end of that game, there was no question. Like, the last 10 to 7 minutes of the game last night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it was just because it went from that rogue interception where they were posing in the end zone to them crying in 10 minutes of game time.
Well, it seems like we had Kyle Shanahan right where you want him, is with a double digit lead in the fourth quarter so that you can beat him humiliatingly. Only it wasn't a Super Bowl, because that's what he does in Super Bowls, because he was the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons when they lost the Super Bowl. If everybody remembers that, because I know Twitter remembers it because it was everywhere. You want to know the fun fact? If you want to believe that the Chiefs are going to be great forever at this moment,
Hillshire Farms remembers.
Pepperidge Farms.
Pepperidge Farms.
The cookies. If you want to think if you're a Chiefs fan, you're feeling great, you should. First off, you should, because congratulations, 50 years of waiting to lucky number 54. 54, the greatest of all numbers, as everyone knows. That was, man. By the way, my old football number and my favorite number of all time. But anyhow, the Chiefs right now have $16.164 million of cap space. Patrick Mahomes has now played 3 years of pro football. According to the CBA, he can renegotiate his contract now. If you want to keep him happy, you do it now. You know what he's going to get on the market? $30 million. The Chiefs are going to pay him $30 million. Do you know what he made last year? How much did he make on this season?
It was five million dollars.
They're going to add $25 million of cap spending to this team. They're going to lose a bunch of people off this offense because you know who's a free agent? Like their whole defensive backfield. Breland and Fuller, the two interceptions in this game, both free agents.
Thank you for getting Andy Reid his Super Bowl when you could.
Yes.
Because you're not going – because guess what? 10 years ago, the Packers had a 26-year-old quarterback who had sat on the bench for 3 years, so roughly had been a starter about the same amount of times as Mahomes had, and had, just like him – Mahomes apparently has really never had a bad game. Rodgers has had very few bad games by the time he was 26. And at the time, when they were making the run to the Super Bowl, he was putting on a show that I don't even think Mahomes has touched yet. That playoff run that Aaron Rodgers put together, minus the Bears game, which was a little bit iffy, was insane. He couldn't miss, and it went right into a 15-1 year. And that came off the end of a year when in Arizona, minus a bad face masking, Aaron Rodgers played lights out in that Arizona game. And what was it? Who's the tight end we had ended up bad leg injury, went away.
Oh, Jermichael Finley.
Finley broke a bunch of tight end playoff records in that game. Guess what? 10 years ago, that was the same team. The same team we just saw yesterday from Kansas City is what Green Bay's team was. And then they had a 15-1 year the next year, because the quarterback was so good, but the defense stunk. And it's 10 years later, and here we are. And same thing with Russ Wilson up in Washington. There's massive holes in that Seattle team. They've got some really good players. They do. They've got Russ Wilson. They've got good players on defense, but they have some glaring holes, like their entire offensive line, pretty much. And just like the Vikings, without all the winning and championships thing, you know, and that's it. They're in salary cap hell now because their quarterback is paid. That's part of the reason why the Patriots have been able to field decent teams is, A, Belichick's a genius, and Tom Brady's been taking hometown discounts for the better part of 15 years now.
If you think about the 49ers, too, Emmanuel Sanders, Jimmy Ward, Eric Armstead, Earl Mitchell, they're all unrestricted free agents. Kendrick Bourne is a restricted free agent. Guys like Emmanuel Mosley and Nick Mullins and Matthew Breda are restricted or exclusive right free agents up. So, they got some money, too. They actually have slightly less cap space, but they're not paying a quarterback next year. So the 49ers are going to be back again, I think.
They're not, but they're still going to have to pay some people. You're not stuck in cap hell like the Vikings are.
Yeah.
You know, so, but, and you're not overpaying for your quarterback. You're paying what he deserves. But, man, they're not going to keep that talent. They're not going to keep their coaches either. That's the other thing that happens when you have a good team. Your coaches get raided, you know.
49ers are also going to have to expect Richard Sherman in a year, DeForest Buckner in a year, Tevin Coleman in a year, George Kittle in a year. They're looking to sign him this offseason, too. So if you're a Packers fan, your hope is that they start spending big money on George Kittle, and they start spending big money on Eric Armstead, and they let a bunch of people go.
George Kittle's going to get paid as much as a wide receiver.
Yeah, and he should. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is. He does more than a wide receiver does.
He helped me finish way ahead of you in our fantasy football league.
Yeah. So what happened to that league again? I forget, because I stopped paying attention about 3 months ago. Anyways.
I didn't, because there's going to be a trophy with my name on it.
Oh, I know. You had reason not to. Anyhow. But he's going to get paid, and there's just too many people to pay on that team. And
the nature of the NFL now.
You know what the thing is, Sue, is, and you just said it too. It's like, so that window's going to close for Kansas. It's not going to close for Kansas City. They're going to be
close,
able to keep it
closed
for a while.
It's not going to close because you have Patrick Mahomes. It's going to stay. It's going to be an open window. Right. It's just not as open. The window got a little smaller because you're going to have less people around him. But I mean, Mecole Hardman's not going anywhere. Tyreek Hill isn't going anywhere soon. Kelsey's not going anywhere soon. Where they're going to lose some people probably is on that defense. And they got a couple of people that just not going to be able to pay some of these people. They just can't. Yeah. But, I mean, Mahomes puts you in every game.
Even though with having to sign him to a bigger contract and everything else that's going to happen with him, I still think that their window is more open than the 49ers are because the limitations they have at quarterback.
Yeah, they've already paid on their quarterback, and Garoppolo's a nice quarterback.
Oh,
Not a Pro Bowler. He just isn't. No. I mean, he's very good. Mm-hmm. And I think the Patriots would have been better this year with him than Brady because Brady was one of the bottom third of the NFL in a lot of categories.
Garoppolo, I'll give him top half of the league, but he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not. He's not a game changer.
No.
And it shut down the stretch last night, too. Like, he missed some passes bad.
He had a great throw that there was pass interference.
And before anybody goes, well, Mahomes missed some passes bad early. It was his first Super Bowl. And he was nervous. Okay, there was a couple bad passes,
but
he was dropping dimes at the end of the game. So shut up, Mahomes. At the end of the game, when it mattered, was missing guys by 5 yards. You know, so.
And in all fairness, though, Damian Williams almost should have been the MVP. I mean, he had 2 touchdowns. He was killing it.
Yeah,
I think he was more valuable than Mahomes. But Mahomes was there in the biggest moments of the game. And he's what you remember, and he's the guy you were going to vote for if it's close. If you can't think of anybody clearly beating him, then you make it him. I guess that's what happens. That's why Aaron Rodgers is a Super Bowl MVP, because none of the receivers were clearly better than him in that game, so you definitely made it the quarterback.
Who's the last wide receiver to win the MVP? Jerry Rice back in the 80s?
No, Branch has one. Brady didn't win every one for the Patriots.
No, just 4 of them.
Yeah. Branch had one because he killed it. And White should have had one, even though he's a running back, because Brady only broke the receptions record because he had a running back who broke the receptions record.
Desmond Howard even says that Reggie White should have won the award.
Oh, yes.
I say that, and then Julian Edelman won the award last year as a wide receiver.
I was going to say, I thought Edelman had one of these years too, but I couldn't remember last year's. Anyhow, none of this is really Packer or Wisconsin talk, but it's great to talk about the Super Bowl, and we love talking football more than anything else that there is. The one big Packers thing that we do want to talk about is just found today, Willie Wood passed away shortly before we recorded this podcast. The news going around the internet. Just an incredible loss for everybody. From what I've read, too, apparently he's been suffering from advanced dementia for about the last decade. He's been living in a nursing home in Washington, D.C. area. Just an incredibly sad passing. Willie Wood, one of the greatest safeties of all time. A great Packer legend, played on some of these great teams. You always see the sign that they would have, what would we do without Willie? Just one of the best players, still second in Packers history in career interceptions with 48. Bobby Dillon has the actual team record, but Willie Wood is second. Incredibly sad day. He was 83, and that's just, it's just too early, and especially if he's been suffering from dementia for the last 10 years. That's incredibly sad, and it's a horrible passing.
Well, sadly, if it's from dementia, then it wasn't early enough, so...
You wish he wouldn't have gone through any of that, because he was such a force and such a good, just a good person to listen to when you did hear him. And he didn't say a ton, but just a good person and a good football player, a great football player and a great person. Well, the world's a little worse without him.
It's getting to be that time too, you know, with Bart dying last year and Willie Wood. I mean, they're going to start going down now. I mean, they're all in their 80s, and it's sad. We're going to start losing our heroes from our childhood, you know, back before the Packers were good. Again, you know, we Vince Lombardi's Packers that were always, anytime you'd go to Green Bay for any presentation, they were always there. The Jerry Kramers.
We still have Jerry, thankfully.
Yep, we still do. Nitschke was around when I was a kid still. There were a whole lot, there were a whole bunch that were still around when we were kids.
Jim Taylor only passed away 2 years ago, October of 2018. Jerry Kramer's still with us. We still have Paul Hornung. We've seen him in the advertisements for the Heisman House and everything.
Ringo's still around too, right?
I think so. I guess I haven't looked.
A little bit ago, so I'm looking at my John Taylor signed football right now.
Jim Taylor signed.
Did I say John?
Sorry. Yeah,
but 49ers on the brain. But my Jim Taylor signed football right now, and my dad just got that a couple years ago. My dad just met Ringo a little ago. My mom's on the state school board, so she meets former Packers all the time at conferences and stuff like that. And, she did get to meet Bart Starr about 5 years ago when he was still in pretty good health. And he came and spoke youth, and she got to meet him, and that was a pretty big moment in her life. But, I mean, that's what made Vince Lombardi so mythical to us when we were kids, is that he was the only one from those teams that wasn't around still. And now...
Well, and Henry Jordan, who passed away very, very young.
Very early, yes. Yep. There was a couple, but I mean, like, we listened to Max McGee on the radio.
All the time. Loved Max.
Max was the best, you know, and they were always around. They were always around in Green Bay. You know, he'd go there up in the summer to go to the Hall of Fame or something like that, and one of them would be around for whatever reason, you know. So it's sad that we're going to, Wood's gone now, and Bart's gone, and I mean, arguably.
Even Reggie's gone.
The quarterbacks on both sides, Reggie went way too early.
Yeah.
But I mean, Bart Starr was quarterback on offense, and Wood was, Nitschke was quarterback on defense. But I mean, you know, Willie Wood was a defensive leader for the Packers too. But I mean, it's sad that we're going to start seeing this more, and, you know, whatever. But thank God there was a lot written about that team. That's still why my argument of why Bart Starr should have been on the 100 team instead of Brett Favre was because for all they accomplished, yeah, maybe Brett Favre was a better physical talent. Bart Starr was the quarterback of the team when NFL was going into football and color football, and when Pete Rozelle was bringing the NFL into this place where it is now. In its infancy at that time, you know, it was like the second half, you know, during the merger to where we are now, Bart Starr was the guy. Like, and
you're right. There are so many great books in that time. Like Jerry Kramer got with Dick Schaap and they wrote Instant Replay. And then later on Distant Replay, which are both great books, just great books to read. There's also Mean on Sunday, the Ray Nitschke book. That book is incredible. It's incredible to listen to him talking about that dude played without a face mask when he was at Illinois, just to show how tough he was.
I mean,
and then lost his front four teeth.
There's in-depth stories about the 60s Packers.
Yeah.
Don Hudson's like a mystery to all of us because nobody cared about football back then the way they do now.
Except
the Packers team were one of the first teams that people cared about and wrote about in depth.
The title town.
I know that. What is it, Nitschke or Kramer that has the slivers that was removed from their thigh from working
Nitschke.
On the farm as a child are in the Packer Hall of Fame.
No.
Yeah.
They had the ones where Nitschke's helmet is still in there from when the tower fell on him.
Right.
He had his helmet on. He didn't take it off. He was taking a drink, and the tower with the camera fell on top of him, and a bolt from the tower pierced his helmet but did not pierce his head. Because he was wearing his helmet, that helmet's in the Packer Hall of Fame. That story's in his book. It's crazy. When the tower fell, apparently Lombardi turned and is like, "Who was that?" And they're like, "It was Nitschke." And he's like, "Oh, he's okay. Let's keep going."
Of course he did. But I mean, just think about like how much is written about Lombardi versus Lambeau. Lambeau's a mystery too, and Lambeau is the most written about person prior to 1950 on the Packers. I'd have to argue. I mean, I'm glad Don Hudson made the 100 team. Thank God we haven't forgotten about him yet. Luckily, he broke enough records.
Lambeau made the team too.
Like the amount of writing on Don Hudson is pales in comparison to like the offensive linemen of the '60s Packers, because that's when media started, and that's when NFL films really started and stuff like that. And that's why I said that's, and that goes to my argument why Bart Starr should have been on the 100-year team instead of Brett Favre, because Brett Favre was a really good quarterback and a lot of things changed. He broke a lot of records. So Bart Starr was the face of the new NFL and was forever. And had he decided to stay in the spotlight after he left football, he could have been, but he didn't. And the Packers stunk in the 70s and 80s. And he was too busy taking care of real things and real problems in the real world instead of, and the cameras didn't exist back then, you know? So I don't know. Sorry. It's Packer centric. So I'm talking about it. And he was a 2-time Super Bowl MVP.
We point out that there were a couple, apparently people from, this is going to be the fun part here. The less talked about Wisconsin NFL team, which is the Milwaukee Badgers, which have now three Hall of Famers, I think, at this point. Jimmy Conzelman, who is a halfback and a quarterback, and Johnny Blood actually played over there as well, and Fritz Pollard, inducted in 2005. I believe there's another player entering this year, I can't remember who it was, who did for at least a year or two play for the Milwaukee Badgers. They were not a team for very long. They mostly just in the 20s. But that's fun. It's a fun part of the NFL history that really was an NFL team.
Yeah, right up there with the Duluth Eskimos that also had. Did Johnny Blood play for them too?
That I don't know. I don't know. It's actually Johnny McNally. He named himself Johnny Blood because it was a movie. Him and a buddy picked fake names because he started playing for the NFL teams when he was actually still in college to make money, which was not allowed, but he needed to pick a fake name. Actually, several players did that sort of thing.
Sorry, it was Ernie Nevers. Ernie Nevers played for the Duluth Eskimos. They were one round for one team in that terrible movie that was made with Leatherheads with John Krasinski and George Clooney. That was roughly based on the Duluth Eskimos.
That's right. I do remember that now.
Because I think they were – I'm not going to bore everybody with this, but they played the one year in 1927 they were in the NFL. I think they played one home game. They were a traveling team. So, and they were 1-8. So
cool.
Anyways,
we are your official home for the Milwaukee Badgers.
No. The Duluth Eskimos have three Hall of Famers.
Oh, all right.
Johnny Blood did play for them.
By the way,
Ernie Nevers and Johnny Blood and Walt Kiesling all played for them in the one year that they were in.
Cool. Interesting. Anyways, by the way, Inuit. Inuit is the correct name for them. That's what they call themselves. Eskimo is a derogatory term, which means eaters of raw meat.
Nanavik. Yes.
Inuit. Anyhow, this is the part here where we're going to get into the stuff that we thought we were going to talk about more. But, of course, we love football. Aaron and I love football. And I played basketball in high school, but Aaron didn't.
Sports are best.
Right. Badger basketball was massively interesting this week, actually. They started off, they went to Iowa, played at Carver Hawkeye Arena, had a loss in a game in which, for personal reasons, Kobe King did not travel with the team. Immediately, people started talking about him. They started congratulating him and wishing him well before he'd even announced anything, and which was kind of crazy, I think, at the first point. But turns out Kobe King is now going to be transferring to go finish his college career somewhere else. We don't know where yet, but he's planning on going somewhere else. By the way, he was the second leading scorer on a team that will most likely make the tournament at this point. What in the world are you thinking, saying that you're so unhappy being on a good team and being the second leading scorer on said team? It's not like he wasn't playing. He was a starter on this team. Where is he going to go and just be a different starter on a different team? He's not going to a better team. He's not going to go to Michigan State. If he doesn't like the structure and having to play within an offense, he's not going to like Michigan State. He's not going to go to Duke because they'll never take that kind of garbage at Duke. Also, like we said in the pre-show, Duke and Kentucky, they can just go get another freshman who can do exactly what you do. They don't need you to transfer in. I'll be very interested to see where he ends up going.
Wow, and we were wrong in our pre-show production. I guess I should have looked up. He's already 21. So, where? and if it's like Micah Potter, like we were talking about before the show too, like, so Micah Potter left Ohio State about the same time, right? 2 years ago. Like, he might not play again next year either. And so, you know, it might be the 21-22 season. He'll be 22 years old. Like, 22-23 years old. Like, that's most of the players that play beyond 22 are either redshirt seniors who are going nowhere and are just happy to be playing college basketball, or they're in the NBA or in the G League or anywhere else. So,
which the G League is fine. Here's the thing. He's a redshirt sophomore, which means this would be normally his junior year. Problem is he got injured in his freshman year and had to redshirt the season. So he didn't play much then. He's been getting a ton of time. He's been getting a bunch of time. He's been highlighted in this offense as far as they can highlight anybody. He's been one of the most consistent players other than Reavers. Does he want to be the number one guy? Because Reavers is the guy you build this team around. He's better than King. He's been putting up, he is a more consistent scorer and a better just straight up and down player at this point from what he can do for this team. Apparently also, Kobe King quit over a group text and then refused to meet with guard afterwards. I don't know what to say. Like, there's a lot of talk back and forth about, like, there's two takes on this. One is that, I mean, at least outwardly, there's the camp that says, this is all guard's fault. Look what he's doing and ruining this team that Bo gave him. And the other side of this is, Kobe King is the most selfish, dumb player quitting on his team halfway through the season. I don't know. I mean, we don't know enough about this situation yet.
Like, if you're going to transfer anyways, why not just stick it out through the end of the season? Like, because you're not going to go transfer. Unless you transfer, like, if you transfer down to D3, you can play immediately, right? Is it if you transfer down?
I don't know the rules on that. I forget that's right.
I know that if you're transferring, like, to a different division, then it's, I forget how this all works.
You can at least start right away. I don't know if you can start mid-season, though. Like, where is he going to go right now? What was the value?
And it says, in the article out of the Journal Sentinel is or is it just the Journal now? I don't know. Anyway,
still Journal Sentinel.
Rebranding himself. Anyways, Journal Sentinel is that he's been frustrated with guards since early in his career. And so I'm down here in Janesville now, and I've been listening to some of the local sports stations down here because Janesville's big enough that it's got its own local radio in the morning. And Josh Goldberg is the sports director down on the station here. The big news talk station down here is WCLO, and he's on in the mornings as kind of the sidekick and very news-centric, local news-centric. But he does a canned bit that plays at 5 o'clock in the afternoon every day during the news splash. And his take on it was, and I like this one, it was pretty much that Kobe King's a big baby. And good riddance to you. You know, like, if you couldn't even make it through the end of the season on a team where you're starting and you're going to be in the tournament, this is on you. Obviously, you can't handle what's in front of you. And, you know, he brings up the point, too, is that so, and you were alluding to it earlier, is that he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Wisconsin and whatever year it was in lacrosse. And so he's just not the number one player on this team, and he wants to be the featured player on the team. Well, like you said, there's at least two players that are definitely better than him, you know. And so it'll be interesting. It's like you just mentioned all the big schools that he's not going to any of those. I'm saying he's going to, like, Mankato State or North Dakota State or Texas A&M, where he's going to be the number one player on the team. You know, hell be damned if I can, you know, if I'm going to win any championships, but I'm going to be the number one player on my team so that they can, you know, focus on my talents. Even though, like you also alluded to, they've tried in Wisconsin, but he's not that good. There's a reason why you're in your third year and you're still in D1 basketball. Now, yes, you mentioned injuries too and stuff like that. It's, you know, yeah, it's whatever, you know, good luck.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you wish him luck in whatever he's going to do. I mean, he has a right to make his own decisions. He's a grown man. He's going to do what he's going to do. So whatever. I mean, it's not the biggest, you know, craziest thing that you've ever seen. It's just like, man, I don't get going in the middle of the season. I don't know where he thinks he's going to go. Like, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
I told you, John, he's going to go to some lesser school where he can be the number one. He can be the alpha dog. He can be the big fish in the pond.
Yeah, I know where you think he's going to go. I don't know where he thinks he's going to go.
UW Green Bay.
UW Green Bay.
Stout.
That would be interesting. That would be fun.
Go be a cobber.
You know, who doesn't want to go to Stout and be a Blue Devil?
Stouty?
They're not Stouties.
UW Stout Stouties.
Yeah, we're not like that. Biggest thing that was coming from this is the concern that he's from La Crosse. I mean, he's a La Crosse guy. He grew up in La Crosse. And two of the big guys coming into this class, Johnny Davis and Jordan Davis, the Davis boys, are part of this recruiting class the Badgers have coming in, and they're both from La Crosse Central, which they're I mean, anyone who doesn't know, there's a couple high schools in La Crosse. There's Logan, there's Central, there's Aquinas, and then just outside La Crosse, there's Onalaska and Onalaska Luther.
Holman too, right? Has a school?
Holman, Vikings, yeah, they're further north out there. Onalaska at least abuts La Crosse. They're right next to each other. It's like they're right next to
Get High,
G-E-T, high school. Gale Ettrick, Trempealeau High School is even further north there. That's up in Trempealeau County.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, those are two of the big names. They've both said they're still committing to Wisconsin. There's not a lot of concern there. They're both 6'4 kids from there. Mm-hmm. They're signed. They're not backing out now at this point.
Why wouldn't they? It's, I mean, the Big Ten is arguably the best conference in college basketball. Not so much this year, but
they've still been really good. The thing is that they're kind of, you know, they do kind of push each other around a bit this year. It's been fun to watch. The Big Ten.
I'm just saying. Why would you, I mean? That's what makes this decision by Kobe King even more absurd, obtuse. Can I use the word obtuse on this podcast?
Well, if you were Paul Allen, you would say pear-shaped, because he always says pear-shaped for anything.
Yeah, that's why it's a pear-shaped move. Like I mean, if he's going to Minnesota, then I can kind of understand it. At least it's kind of a lateral move. Or to Illinois, it's kind of a lateral move. Yeah. Marquette could be argued as a lateral move. Like, I guess if Marcus Howard's leaving at the end of this year, you'd be the number one in Marquette. You know, yeah. I get it. But, I mean, as far as the Davis boys you're talking about, like, why wouldn't they go to Wisconsin? If you're not good enough to get on to Kentucky or Duke, you know, let's go get on a good team. In a good D1 conference where we'll get some national airtime and, you know, whatever. I mean, yeah. So,
yeah, I mean, the Badgers put guys in the NBA, and maybe they aren't the biggest stars in the NBA, but they stay around. Like, they don't go anywhere. Sam Decker's still playing. Guys, they're still out there. They're still playing. Finley had an incredibly long career. He won an NBA title, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the Badger guys, you know they can play, and you know they can be there for a long time, and they're going to be glue guys who can fill in and do whatever you need them to do. Go learn how to do that. You're going to have a long career. You may not be the richest guy in the world, but you're going to make a lot of money playing NBA basketball. I mean, Sam Decker's not crying about anything right now, picking Wisconsin and staying through his junior year. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't get it. In what happened on the court, they lost the game in Iowa when they didn't have Kobe King, and there's everything swirling around this team. They were up. It was a 68-62 loss. They didn't get blown out. They're on the road in a Big Ten arena. They were up 57-46 with 6:59 left. So 7 minutes left. They're up by 11. And, I mean, they had this. Seriously, they got 16 points from Demetric Trice, and they lost this game. Towards the end, they just kind of fell apart. They were leading most of the second half, up until pretty much the entire second half, I guess, until minute 20 left in the game, at which point there was a foul on, it was an and one. Demetric Trice fouled, I forget the name of the guy from Iowa, fouled him, and then there was an and one that put Iowa up by 1 point. So at that point, I think it was 60-59. And basically, Iowa just held it from there on out. They held the lead from that point out. At 59-62, there was a technical foul on Davison, which is, of course, the second biggest story in Badgers basketball this week, is Davison coming through, trying to cut through a screen. And I'll tell you, if the way you're told, like, he's making a turn, trying to cut through a screen on what is essentially like a big, like, running a large U, kind of a shallow U. But the way you would do that is you would try to dip your shoulder, right? I mean, that's how I've always been taught, is you try to dip your shoulder and cut low and get around. And the way you get the momentum is you swing your arm through. Well, Davison is, of course, known for being a guy who's had technical fouls. So that's definitely going to hurt him here. Because when he swings the arm through, he catches the guy on the inside of the leg. I mean, his hand is really low. He's not trying to punch him in the manhood, which is what, of course, every Hawkeye fan is claiming he did. But you can definitely see that that's the thing you can't do when you're Davison. You don't get any wiggle room. You will not get any wiggle room. You haven't earned any wiggle room because you've done, I mean, he's a tough defender and he's a guy who fights through screens. He's going to do all that dirty little stuff to get through. It's not a, what's his name from Duke? He's not kicking guys. You know, he's not doing that, but he is doing the exact hardest way of playing defense possible. The exact hardest way of going through a screen that he can get through so he can get through. And yeah, he got suspended. So he missed a game. So the Badgers then going against number 14 Michigan State, who is a, you know, a team that ends up just playing the toughest pre-Big Ten schedule possible so that they look great by the end of the year. Number 14 Michigan State comes in and against a team that lost its number two scorer, Kobe King, and has its other guard, Davison, out on a suspension. And what does Wisconsin do, of course? When all these questions about should they get rid of guard, is everything just falling apart around him? They beat Michigan State. They beat Michigan State. It's ridiculous. It should never have happened. None of that should have happened. But they did. They beat Michigan State. And Tom Izzo had exactly the best read on this after the game. Tom Izzo, the only person at Michigan State that I respect at this point. He said, yeah, we should have made more shots. I wish we'd have won this game. I wish we would play better. But sometimes you love seeing guys playing for their coach. And that's what they did. This team showed up. And they played for guard because the guys who are left here on this team, they really believe in him. Nobody else is leaving this team. This team believes in Greg Gard, and he's recruiting some other guys who believe in him. And I kind of feel pretty good about this team right now for what you can get from Wisconsin basketball. I mean, like, they got one NCAA tournament championship in the 40s. They've been to three Final Fours in my lifetime, which is great. They had a back-to-back. They got to a national championship game in my lifetime. But yeah, I mean, I feel good about
this game. Which they should have won, and they got jobbed over and massively, if anyone remembers that one. But anyhow, because Duke wasn't going to lose to Wisconsin, because no way would the NCAA let Wisconsin beat both Kentucky and Duke two games in a row. But hey, John. Yeah. Hey. Do you want to go into fun fact world with me? Because you're talking about the games, and yes, good thing they did. But they beat Michigan State too. Everyone forgets that, and there's probably a good chance that they lost Iowa because of Kobe King. Because when teams are dysfunctional like that, like you have a dysfunctional moment, it takes away from you playing the game. When the harmony is off, things happen. So
they get pear shaped, Aaron.
They go pear shaped. Do you know who Sam Decker's wife is?
I forget. She's a TV person. I know she does interviews and she's on sports.
Besides just being I know this is a family podcast, so I will keep it clean. She's a smoke show. She's gorgeous, and I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, all right. Do you know her? Do you know who Sam Decker's father-in-law is?
That I don't know. No.
Kevin Harlan.
Oh, yeah.
It's Olivia Harlan.
That's her.
And therefore, his grandfather-in-law is Bob Harlan, longtime president of the Green Bay Packers, who turned that ship around. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Decker had one of the best moments on Twitter a little bit ago. Somebody was trying to come at him, somebody who I don't know and none of us know, and he was trying to say something about, like, Decker and his wife were going different directions on, like, Christmas or Thanksgiving or something like that. Like, he was going to go play a game, and she was going to cover a completely different game. And he's like, hey, why don't you grow up, stop living some sort of La La Land fantasy, and, you know, start being a man and go get a real job. He's like, I'm sorry. What did you make last year? He's like, I'm an NBA player, and she's got a great job. Sometimes we just go to work. I'll see her tomorrow, and it's fantastic. He's like, still love my wife. I was like, this is so good.
Right. No,
that was involved in that. They're so great. Well,
Poor Sam is, he's stuck over playing for some team in Russia right now, too.
I thought he was on the Wizards still.
No, not for a while. He's playing for the, but either way, I mean, not, hey, any recruits from Wisconsin, you can get married to Olivia Decker, just go Google that. But he was playing up until last year with the Wizards. And
oh, yeah,
was
yeah.
Playing for
PBC Lokomotiv Kuban.
Kuban out of Russia. So, that's the arc. You got to do what you got to do. He's still getting paid to play basketball. And Sam Decker's Twitter is electric, by the way. And he's a great, he's from Sheboygan. And it only makes sense that I didn't realize this. Kevin Harlan went to University of Kansas, and they live in Kansas City, which if
it's not in Kansas.
What?
Which is not in Kansas.
Right, as well, but there is a Kansas City, Kansas. If you go there, it's on both sides of the border. Yeah. However, where the Chiefs are at, President Trump that's Kansas City, Missouri. But and that's where the Royals are from too. Oh, hey, Royals and Chiefs, two world championships in the last couple of years. Good job, Kansas City.
My sister-in-law is very happy.
Only imagine. You, whatever, Emily.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so it said that she grew up in Kansas City, and I was thinking to myself, if you were Kevin Harlan, who has to call games in New York, Miami, Milwaukee, Houston, New Orleans, blah, 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 wouldn't it make perfect sense to live in Kansas City, Missouri, logistically? Live dead center in the middle of the country if you're flying all over the place to call games all over the place, because it only makes sense. That's brilliant.
All right. By the way, he's playing in Krasnodar. This is the best part. So I'm getting down this rabbit hole with Sam Decker. He plays on that team, the Lokomotiv in Krasnodar. Krasnodar in southern Russia.
God, would it be great if Mark Cuban owned the Lokomotiv Kuban?
In Krasnodar, which is in Russia, is known for its five-domed St. Catherine's Cathedral. It is consecrated in 1914. This city has 774,000 people live there. Also, a five-star hotel averaged $68 a night.
So he's crushing it over there.
$68. Well, let's go there. That sounds great. Fantastic. Right. Anyhow. Badgers are still looking up. The best part about this is now, coming into the week, it looked like they had one ranked team left on their schedule. This is no longer true, as the only ranked team left on their schedule was, Aaron, Rutgers. The Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. You didn't know that because nobody knew that. They're no longer ranked anymore.
The Scarlet Letter of Rutgers. Yes.
They are now no longer ranked. So they've got like Michigan, Rutgers, Ohio State, Northwestern. They got to play Nebraska ball. I just love saying Nebraska ball. It's so good. Now that football's over, I mean, there is no more rivalry for my brother Mike and I, because Nebraska ball can't hold a candle to the Badgers. Not really. But anyhow, Badgers basketball looking like they have a real chance to get down to the end of the season. They have a good record right now. They have an outside shot at getting to a 20-win season yet. I'll say this. They're 3-3 against teams who were ranked when they played them. And that includes Maryland, two games against Michigan State, one game against Iowa, because they were not ranked in the game where we beat Iowa. They were not ranked at that point, though they're ranked at the time when we lost to them. They got some teams down here. They can beat down the stretch. They beat Ohio State in Columbus. Now they get to play them at home. So, yeah, I think they have the majority of those games are going to be at home coming down the stretch. So, really hopeful here, seeing Bucky pull this off and get into the tournament and maybe get a decent enough seed that they might have a chance at winning that first round. The Bucks are, the Bucks went kind of 2-1 since we were last here. I mean, they beat the Wizards. We all knew they beat the Wizards. The thing is, we didn't know when we closed up the show last time is that they would do so without Giannis. And how did they deal without Giannis? Well, Middleton dropped 51. Middleton dropped 51.
They scored, what, 83 points in the first half?
Yeah, well, the rest of the team scored 100, and then Middleton dropped 51. The Wizards play zero defense.
Right.
Zero whatsoever. I don't know if they come back across half court.
No, they don't. They actually stop at the half court line.
They have to have one guy go back and get the ball after it goes through the hoop and then just throw it back towards half court. That's all they do.
Four people stop at the half court line. It's a modified version of the D'Antonio defense, which has, by the way, D'Antonio, who's won zero NBA championships yet. He's just a genius, according to everyone.
Anyways, genius with a J.
Genius. No. And hey, and you know what? Harden, he's the best player in the NBA because he scores a lot of points. And
scoring points is all you need to do, right?
Right, except the part about winning games. Yeah. Anyways, sorry.
It's so great. The Wizards are – I'm sorry. Well, they're 17-32 right now.
I'm sick of Harden at this point. I really am. It's just – The best thing he's done in the last 2 years was take that basketball to the head by Giannis when he missed on that pass.
Here's the thing. So the Bucks average 120.0 points per game. The Wizards average 115.7.
Right.
That is actually the second best in the East. they are in 10th place.
They give up 230 points a game, though.
They give up 120.8.
Jeez.
They scored 131 points in this game, and they weren't in it. They lost by 20. Yeah. It's crazy how bad they are in terms of defense. I mean, and they have Scott Brooks as a head coach. He's a guy who's been in an NBA final.
You just hit it. They scored 131 and lost by 20 points. It wasn't even close. It got a little edgy there for like in the third quarter when the Bucks couldn't keep up the frenetic pace of scoring 40 points a quarter, and they only scored, I think, like – so they scored 42, 46. Then they scored 29. And that's when the Wizards decided to score 41 in that quarter. And then the Bucks scored like a league average 34 points in the fourth quarter. Yeah, I mean, they went into halftime up
That's like a full college basketball game right there. Bradley Beal dropped 47 in this game, and they weren't close. Bradley Beal basically just signed up to say, like, I will take a league max contract and you will let me shoot every time I touch the ball. And they're like, cool. Bledsoe went for 34, 6, and 10 in this game. DiVincenzo dropped 16 points, 7 boards in this game. How great is this?
The big spaghetti sauce that should not be called Ragu, because Ragu is cheap and
trademarked.
And trademark, but anyways,
the big classico.
He got snubbed on the futures game. By the way, he should be playing in the futures game. I don't care what anybody says.
Right. The one after that was the Denver game, which is the Bucks lost. They go places. I mean, Denver shot like crazy from 3-point land. So apparently, some people on Twitter, the place where an average person goes and decides to just lose their mind. And just tell everybody exactly the stupidest thing they've ever thought of, which is why you and I are on Twitter every day.
Right.
At not so humble host, everybody.
That's where I go lose my collective. Yes.
Anyhow, this is a game where the fun part is Giannis and Thanasis both started in this game. Thanasis got the start. He got 4 points, no rebounds, no assists. But he did have a great assist from his brother. In this game, which was a really cool play. Giannis makes a cut around a guy, goes through, kind of goes up a little bit, and then while in the air, dishes off to his brother to finish at the rim there. It was a 127-115 loss. But the big thing is just Denver shot an unreal percentage from three. That's the only way you can beat the Bucks is you have to have the greatest shooting night of your life, and Denver played the best shooting night they've had all year, basically. I can't prove it's exactly the best, but essentially the best.
Well, and it's not like, and the other thing is too, it's like everybody's like, oh, they lost to Denver. Denver's not a bad team.
No,
Denver's in danger of winning the West. Like the two.
They're
LA
in third
teams,
right now. They're only 4 games behind the Lakers.
They're a half game behind the Clippers for second. Like, and Jokic, just like his brother Luka Doncic down there in Dallas, I always get him confused because I was like Jokic. I'm like, he plays for Dallas. That's sad when I'm getting my – all right, I won't say it. But anyways, the European guys mixed up, even though Giannis is European. But anyhow, like, the Nuggets are a good team. Like, they are made to win. Like, and yeah, if you're going to lose a game, lose it to the team that's number three in the West. Like, it's not like they dropped it to, I mean, let's go down here, the Timberwolves or the Kings, you know?
Yeah.
Did you see what the Timberwolves did to the Kings, by the way?
No, nobody did. Nobody saw that.
No. Minnesota, did you see what happened? No. Sorry. Yeah. I know we're talking about the Bucks, but this game actually happened last week.
I don't believe a Timberwolves game has ever happened.
No. This actually happened. So the Timberwolves were up. Oh, let me get back to that game. Oh, John, you got to hear about this. So the Timberwolves lost to the Sacramento Kings 133-129 in overtime, right? Sure. And that doesn't seem. And this was last Monday, the 27th, right? So doesn't seem like much. Okay, so the Timberwolves lost. No, the Timberwolves were up by the Timberwolves got outscored 41-22 in the fourth quarter. They were leading, and I'm just going to paraphrase this because it's the Timberwolves, and I'm not going to spend too much time on it. But everyone, go look this up. So they were up by 30 points at one point during the game in the second half. And we're up by 17 points with less than 3 minutes left in the game. Since the NBA started keeping track of stat play-by-play, possession-by-possession stats in 1996, all teams that were up by 17 points with less than 3 minutes, were 0-1800 in some. The team that was up by 17 was 1800 and some and zero. That stat is now, in the modern era of basketball, the last 24 years of keeping score, the Timberwolves are the only team to lose, leading by 3 points left, by 17 points with 3 minutes left in the game. There's a lot of numbers there. But, yeah, they lost. They somehow lost that game.
Okay. Yeah, I think I saw some of this mostly because it was talking about, like, they were up by so much and they lost, giving, like, 24 points in the last 5 minutes to honor Kobe.
Buddy Hield off the bench scored 44 points, and the Timberwolves pulled their starters at the beginning of the fourth quarter because they were up by so much. They had the starters had to go do warm-ups in the back and come back into the game, and then they lost in overtime. Crazy. Anyways, back to the Bucks. That it's the most amazing thing. Like, just a stat, like 1800 and change. And zero. Now that's 1800 and change and one Timberwolves.
You want to know the most fun thing that I've just looked at here? The Bucks right now are, they're 42-7. Mm-hmm. So the ninth place team in the East is 19-33. That's the Chicago Bulls. That means essentially the best they could ever do is if they win out. The Bucks, if they win 50 games, will be able to clinch their spot. So essentially, the Bucks are, their magic number is eight.
Yeah,
and they have played 49 games in an 82 game season. Their magic number is eight. They win eight more games, they will clinch a playoff spot. It's ridiculous. Yeah. They're 6.5 clear of Toronto. They are 8 clear of both Boston and Miami. 24.5 clear of Chicago.
Still haven't lost 10 games. They're 42-7.
They haven't lost, knock on wood. They have not lost two in a row since last year.
Right. And that was a big deal when they lost two in a row last year. Do you remember that?
Other than the playoffs, we'll say.
Other than when they got to the
Stupid Raptors.
Yeah.
Canada.
No, during the regular.
Canada. Got to go ruin everything first, eh? Great sake. Enjoy your pasties up there and go get your basketball going.
God, it's something else up there. I'll tell you what, you know, they don't even have all dress trips. I can't do it. I've got Letterkenny on the head, and there's too much swearing. I can't do it.
How are you now?
How are you now?
Good, and you? All right, we're gonna wrap everything here. I'll go through and try to clean up as much as we can here before
sports abyss.
All right, give everything here in what we call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right, Aaron, the last couple of things I want to get in here. UW men's hockey, they had a rough weekend. They had Minnesota at home, did not play that the way they wanted to. They ended up losing both. They lost 6-2 on the Friday game, the Saturday game. Came back, they had a 2-1 lead. Minnesota pulled their goalie, and then they won 3-0 from there. So it was a 4-2 loss to Minnesota. They get swept at home. Badgers are last in the Big Ten hockey right now and trying to just kind of find ways to get there. To be entirely honest, Granato's been there with, this is his third season. He's had two full real recruiting classes, which are good classes with people like Kendre Miller, Cole Caulfield, Sean Doogie, a lot of these Stars players. They're freshmen and sophomores on this team. And so it's just going to be, it's going to be a little bit of a rough go for a little bit here. But I believe in the system. I believe what he's got going. They're not consistent enough yet, and that's because most of their great players are very young. Mm-hmm. In D3 hockey, number 12, UW Superior got swept.
Woo! Go
got
Jackets.
Swept. The Jackets got swept this weekend, 6-5 and then 3-2 by the resurgent UW Stevens Point Pointers, who have now won 9 in a row. To kind of move past the number 12 Superior. I still don't.
We talked about that early in the season. They actually didn't lose that many people.
They really didn't. They brought back a lot of guys from that team.
They brought back. So
they had a really rough season.
I think we probably said this too, is that I'm sure it was a championship hangover. It happens. It really does. Like there, I knew that point wasn't going to be hanging.
Superior's looked very good this year. They've been a very good team.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the team that is running away with the WIAC, the WIAC, is UW-Eau Claire, who, despite being swept by the Pointers a couple weeks ago, is still the number two ranked team in D3 men's hockey. They beat Stout 5-4 and then 4-0 this weekend. They're at least going to hold on to number two, if not move up to one. I think Norwich is still holding up to one. That's the team that lost to UWSP in the final last year.
Right.
UW women, just trying to keep us rolling
before,
here.
Before you get off the hockey bit, though.
I'm not getting off of this.
No, I was going to say about, well, I can bring it up. You do the women's hockey bit. I got to talk about Oklahoma after that.
Sorry. UW women's hockey had one of the craziest outputs of the weekend. They beat St. Cloud State University in St. Cloud, Minnesota. They beat them 5-0 and then 11-1. And one of the craziest things I ever saw is that in an 11-goal game, nobody had a hat trick. Hat trick. Britta Curl, Sophie Shirley, and Delaney Drake, all of them had 2 goals.
Yeah, that,
among 11 goals, though.
That'll make up the difference right there, though. If you got
that's
that,
6 out of – there's 5 other goals that were just completely other people, who, none of whom had a second one. That team is deep, and they're still good, even without Annie Pankowski, Sophie Shirley, Britta Curl.
If you would have told me 11 different players scored one goal, that would have been different. That would have been surprising.
I forget the other name right off the top of my head. Abby Roque is still there. She had a good game. She had one goal, and I think she had a couple assists. This team is still great. They're getting 14 of the 15 number one first place votes. The only other first place vote was Cornell. Mm-hmm. Cornell, when I did a Habitat build with like 20 people from Cornell, they thought that Wisconsin was a city in Minnesota. So there's your Ivy League education for you.
There you
Cornell,
go.
Cornell, the Big Red.
No, Minnesota's a city in Wisconsin. Just let's get it right. So. I did it. I'd argue right now that
rent free, baby.
I mean, and I think this is a pretty fair argument. I'm not as up on the sculling teams as I used to be, but I'm pretty sure that UW women's hockey is king right now for sports coming out of Madison. Is that fair assessment? I mean, the wrestling team's pretty good.
They are pretty good.
They're pretty good. But I would definitely say that the women's hockey team is king in
that,
Madison.
That
right
team
now.
Is so good, and they get whoever they want. And they're good at putting together teams. They're pulling in talent from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Canada. And Michigan, I guess, too. I mean, they that team is so
right. They're
so
what
good.
They're what we want the football team to be.
Yeah, somebody who can just destroy. I mean, 11-1. Let's put that into football terms. That's like a 70-3 game. I mean, like it's a mercy field goal to avoid the just complete embarrassment. 11 goals in a hockey game? Are you kidding me? That's amazing. Four, no, you're like, wow, they really put it to them.
No, but, and jeez, I mean, it's hard to not think that, you know, they're. I mean, you can never assume anyone's going to bring home a national championship, but I mean, that's
that team just swept Minnesota. They're
definitely the front runners right now. So, like, I mean, women's volleyball. I mean, they had a good run this year, and they had a chance at it. But I mean, the women's hockey team is just so dominant that, like, they got to be the team you're going to bet on. Why am I stuttering so much now?
I don't know. That's what you
probably
do.
Because we're diving into sports I'm not an expert on, but I'm just making opinions about. But
got hockey. All right. All right, the last little bit here, D3 basketball. We talked about D1. D3 down here in our last call. We do have UW-Platteville is now the number 12 ranked team in D3 national basketball. They are 16-3. Another WEAC team is ranked in the top 20 at 16-3. Who is it? Normally you would think, well, somebody like, you know, UW-Stevens Point, who has several national championships. No, it's UW-Eau Claire, who has normally been the I don't know a polite word for it, the back end of the WEAC. They were never good in my life at basketball. I know where the basketball arena was at UW-Eau Claire. It's over in Mitchell. I've definitely been there, but I didn't go watch them play because they were never, never good. But they are ranked 18th right now. The top four teams right now are Swarthmore, followed by St. John's up in Collegeville, Minnesota, Randolph-Macon, which I imagine is in Macon, Georgia, but I didn't look that up. Don't quote me on that, although I've recorded it, so you can obviously quote me on it. Number four, the University of St. Thomas, Tommies. Tommy-Johnny game, 2-4 at this point if it comes up, because it's definitely coming up, because they haven't been kicked out of the MEAC just yet.
Right, not quite.
I don't know if it counts basketball, it gets kicked out too. Or hockey, I don't know. But anyhow, that's what we have for our last call. Other than unless you have anything you want to add, the couple things I was going to share, we kind of already ran over at this point. So do you have anything else, Aaron?
I was two things. I'm going to get to. So I was going to say maybe the basketball in Eau Claire, UW-Eau Claire. Eau Claire is my vote for the next team to become a D2 school, possibly a possibly a D1 school in Wisconsin, because it has literally become a eastern suburb of the Twin Cities. My cousins live there. My first cousin Jack, who's also my godson, played for Eau Claire North in Madison last year in the championships, and for hockey. And so there's a lot of hockey coming through Eau Claire right now, and just it's a growing city. It's all part of that 94 corridor, like Menominee and Hudson. It's all the same thing. And my cousin Chris was like, there's an influx of wealth and also athletic talent in the schools right now. People that want to get out of the Twin Cities and stuff like that, she said. And so I wonder, you know, UW-Eau Claire is going to be the hometown school now, and Stella will probably benefit from this a little bit too because of the proximity. But I wouldn't doubt if hockey in general, like, just gets better. Like Kristen said, like, there's a lot of people, like, they have a couple families that have 15-pack vans, and they all like communally paid for them because they all make trips to the cities for tournaments. And now they've got enough arenas in Eau Claire that they're coming out. I think that's what she said. I better back up on that one. But I think they're starting to do some, like, there's enough crossover now that it's the tournaments are starting to come out to Eau Claire. So I wouldn't doubt. I mean, like, that's going to be my vote for the next D1 school. Platteville's too isolated. Whitewater's always going to lose people to Madison and stuff like that. I think Eau Claire is going to be growing. And then
Whitewater doesn't have hockey either.
Right. True. And then, but I just meant like basketball too. Like when you said like they're relevant in basketball, well, there's just more people. Like Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls are growing fast. And then you did the hockey thing and you reminded me of Jacques Lemaire.
My favorite. There's no doubt.
My favorite Jacques Lemaire Twitter burner account. Like someone, after the game tonight was so bad, I cut three players after the team. Not from the team, literally with a knife.
Just cut them.
I cut them.
Oh, yeah. Jacques Lemaire. There's no doubt.
There's no doubt.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us for another week here. It's been a We've had plenty to talk about, even though a lot of it isn't Wisconsin-centric, but we love coming and giving you what we can and trying to be entertaining and give you something at least to hang on to for a week here. Thank you for joining us again. Special thanks to all of our fans here in Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan, a ton of fans in California, Virginia for some reason, and Ohio, and everywhere else that you are across the United States that listens. And of course, all of our wonderful, wonderful international fans. Danke, dziękuję.
Hello, gracias.
And I think that that's because I believe
aloha.
Hello was a word invented for the telephone, but I could be wrong on that. Anyhow, you can follow me, Not So Humble Host, on Twitter. You can follow the show at Scani Johnny Pod. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. And remember to go to our Facebook page. You can find our stuff there. You can find everything, even sometimes on our website when I put it up there if I bother to. But thank you again. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
I had something to say.
This has been the Scani Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScaniJohnny1 or online at ScaniJohnny.com. Thanks for listening.